father-in-law, but you don't know me. My father-in-law is Evangelist Ron Comfort. So my wife is Becky Comfort. She's the one sitting right here on the end. And yes, we've been married almost 30 years. Married her when she was 12. But she was young. She was 19. And I was 23. So I'm 52 now. I'll be 53 when we turn 30 years of marriage. And she will. You just figure it out. But anyway, we are really glad to be with you. And what a wonderful class. Now, everybody here is supposed to be 50 or older. There's no way that some of you are over 50. But anyway, and there's a way some of you are over 50. But we are so glad to be here and just looking forward to it. Let's take our Bibles today and let's go ahead and turn to the book of Exodus. And there are just so many directions that a preacher could go. And so you, as a preacher, we pray and say, Lord, what do you want? And then we trust the Lord leads, and this is where the Lord, I feel, is led today. Over here is Brother Briggs, and we met in California about 8 years ago. Well, probably 10 years ago we first met, maybe even longer. But then he was in a church plant over there, and we were over there ministering, and now he's found your church. I've heard so many good things about your church. Joe Long, how many of you know Joe Long? Okay, he's a good friend of mine, and he is Brother Lasley's son-in-law. So, all right, I want to read Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, there are some people that we read about in the Bible, and we think of them being way up here spiritually, and then we're way down here. There are other men that you may look at in your church, or women you may look at, and you could say, those people are really close to God, and I hope to get that relationship myself someday. And where I do understand that there are people that we all admire and that we all would love to become, we need to all understand, and each one of us needs to understand, that God truly is not a respecter of persons. And that we each can have the relationship with God that we would like to have. And we can have as much of a relationship with God as we would like to have, and as much as we pursue, and as much as we believe. Now, in this passage, we have the man Moses, and we look at Moses, and we think of him as the man of God, as the Bible refers to him this way all the time. But what I want to remind us of is at this point, Moses and God were not that close. Now, God loved Moses. You can't love anybody any more than infinite love. And sometimes we think, well, if I'm good, or if I really, 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 really have faith, if I really, 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 really serve God, then maybe God will like me more. Well, God can't love us any more than infinitely. And he already loves us, and we don't gain his love. We already have it, because God said, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And so I used to think, if I ever get my act together, maybe God will like me. And then I learned, praise the Lord, he already does. But yet, there are some of us that could grow spiritually. And when we need to grow, I think sometimes we need to have knowledge that we can grow. And what I want to show us today is a truth that I think will help us all to understand that God is truly not a respecter of persons, that we, each one of us, can be as close to God as anyone else in the world. Now, we're not going to have an alliterated outline. We just, well, kind of alliterated, I guess, but we have a thought progression. Now, the first thing I want to draw our attention to is the perspective of God. Now, I want you to see how God introduced himself to Moses in verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father. Now, we would think that God would say, I am the God of Moses. Now, that's how we think of God, as being the God of Moses. But at this point, he and Moses had not been connected. And so then he says, I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, yes. The God of Isaac, certainly. The God of Jacob, I am. But he doesn't say yet the God of Moses. And what it shows is that even great men of God were not always once they once later became. And we may look at others and say, what a great deacon, or what a great leader, or what a great Christian. And though we're not in any competition with each other, the pursuit of our Christian life is an intimate relationship with God. And we each can have that, is what I'm trying to say. Now, as we look at these three men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I want to point out that there's a time in each person's life where they can go from this level to a closer intimacy with God. And each person has to make that decision for themselves that they will do this and pursue this. All right, let's look in our Bible at Genesis chapter 12. And God appears unto Abraham. But from God's perspective, he and Abraham were not close yet. So notice how God introduces himself in verse 1. The Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken. But from God's perspective, I just want to point out, God did not show up and say, Abraham, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why? Because from God's perspective, they had not gotten connected yet. But this is when Abraham and God went to an intimate relationship. Now then, Abraham had a son, and his son was Isaac. And let's turn over to Genesis 26, and I want us to just notice how God introduced himself. And it's kind of showing the perspective of God and his relationship with these people. All right, Genesis 26 and verse 24. The Lord appeared unto him, Isaac, the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. But notice, he does not say, and of Isaac. Why? Because he and Isaac had not gotten connected yet. He says, fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded there an altar, and called upon the name of the Lord. Now, at this point, I believe that Isaac believed in his father's God. I believe that he knew that his father's God was the only God. I believe that everything that Abraham believed and taught his son, he probably believed and embraced. But there was something that was not quite strong yet in his relationship with God. And here he, Abraham's son, had to build an altar. And he had to commit his life to that same level of commitment that his father did. And this is where Isaac and God became connected. And now Isaac has a son, and his name is Jacob, and that's in chapter 28. And notice how God appears to Jacob and how he introduces himself to Jacob. In verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and he adds this, the God of Isaac. So now he's connected with Abraham and Isaac. And it says, I'm not more Abraham's God. I'm not more Isaac's God. I'm just the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. And so then Joseph had to make God, Jacob had to make God his God in verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Now, what I'm simply pointing out is that I believe that Isaac knew everything about God. I believe he believed there was God. I believe that he believed his dad's God was God. I believe that Jacob believed everything about God that his grandpa believed and everything that his dad believed, and that his dad and his grandpa's God was his God. And we all have different backgrounds, and there's some that we've got a history of years and years of family that walk with God. Some of us, when this church was being founded, some of you can say that your parents were such a big part of it, or somebody that you knew was such a big part of it. But that generation is going off the scene. And what we need to understand is that God is equally our God, though we're not in competition with the former generation, the previous generation. But we have the same God that they had, and we can have the same relationship and see the great, mighty works that they saw, and see the great provision, the great leadership, the great divine intervention. And all I'm saying is that we have to make sure that we embrace God as our God, not just their God. Now, as we look at this, what a wonderful word, the word mine. If you take your Bibles and turn over to Psalms chapter 18, while you're turning there, I want to share with you a blessing from one of my preacher friends that I pray with. His name's Al Cremard, and he is in Pennsylvania, not too far from where Joe Long is. And Joe Long is another man that I just enjoy praying with. And when I'm praying with Joe Long, it's just like he's in the presence of God. And then I remind myself, God's my God, not just Joe Long's God. And then this fellow that I pray with, Al Cremard, I love the way he prays. He goes like this. He goes, and my Heavenly Father, I pray, and then he prays again, and my Heavenly Father. And I say, dear Heavenly Father, but he says, my Heavenly Father. And I like that. Now, as I look at Psalm 18, there are three verses that have become some of my favorites. And my wife actually made some verses on a canvas, and she does some art. And so she put these verses on a canvas for me because they've been such a favorite of mine. And there is a little word that I'm going to point out in just a little bit, but let's go ahead and read it. Psalm 18, 1 through 3, it says, I will love thee, I'll read it, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Now, the word that I like that's in here 9 times is the word M-Y. M-Y. And the reason I like that word is because there are times when I needed that word and I thought, please don't think that I'm totally insecure and a wet rag, but I've got a great father-in-law, Evangelist Ron Comfort. I've got a father-in-law who is the dean of evangelists. I've got a father-in-law who has prayed and seen millions of dollars come in for the Bible college that he started. And then there's my father-in-law, and then there's Mike. Now, he's always been my greatest fan. He's always been a great support. But yet, from a human perspective, I think of he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and Ron Comfort. And then there's Mike. And so I had to go through this thing because I'm an evangelist and I've got to be empowered by God and I've got to be equipped by God and I've got to do what God calls me to do, and I can't be crippled by thinking God's not going to be there for me. So I had to take this verse and I had to hang on to it and work through it all. And I love the word mine And if you look in the Bible, you'll see in my Bible, I circled all the mice. Now, if you read it this way, it's a wonderful thing. Try to think about it with some passion or some intimacy. The Lord is my strength, not just his strength, not just somebody else's strength. You're going through a time when you need some strength. That's a good pronoun, my. And then you go on, the Lord is my rock, not just his rock, but my rock. He's my stability, my fortress, my wall of protection. You might have people attacking you. He is your wall of protection, my deliverer, not just somebody else's deliverer. And there are many ways that we need deliverance. Can anybody use some deliverance from something today? And then my deliverance. And then he goes on to say, my God, and God can do anything, so that covers everything. Now, then you see the all of these things that God is, but all mine, God. Now, he's equally capable to be all of those things for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Ron Comfort and Mike Pelletier and you. And he is equally capable of being equally powerful, the strength, the deliverer, and there's no weakness and there's no depleting of his power. There's no depleting of his wisdom as he shares for Ron Comfort this or shares for somebody else that and gives this to somebody else. He's not a genie in a bottle that we rub, but there's enough power in God and enough knowledge in God that he can be each of ours equally and sufficiently. Now, the first thing is the perspective of God. The second thing is the power of God. Now, as you look through these things, my strength. There are many times when I've needed strength. When I was a little boy, tragedy struck in my home. It was picture day at Limestone Grade School. I was in the restroom combing my bristles. I had a crew cut and big ears. I was a cute little kid. Then I heard the loudest noise I think I ever heard in my life. And I went in the kitchen, saw pots and pans on the floor. I thought that was the loud noise. So my mother was over on the ground with pots and pans on the floor. I thought that was it. But she looked at me like I was in trouble for laughing, and she ran toward me. And so I jumped out of the way. My mom knows how to swing a switch. So she ran past me to my parents' bedroom, and the door was locked. She called my dad's name. There was no answer. She ran back to the kitchen, got a spare key, and frantically opened that door. As we gathered around, we found out what that loud noise was. My dad was lying on the ground, and he had a 12-gauge shotgun on the floor next to his head. And a few moments later, he put it in his mouth, pulled the trigger, and took his life. Now, call me weak, but we needed strength. And my mother said, this is not the time to get bitter at God. This is the time that we need God. And so we looked to God instead of running from God. And it was the right choice. Now, as we were growing up, I remember missing my dad. And I'd go to my pastor. I'd say, I miss my dad. He said, I know what you need, buddy. And then he said, you go to the office and you wait for me. And then I will be there in a minute. So I'd go to the office. And he'd sit down, pull out his big 10-gallon Bible. And he'd sit right next to me, not across the desk to intimidate me, but right next to me. And he'd open that big Bible. And he'd say, now look at this verse. It says here in Psalms, God is the father to the fatherless, the protector of the widow. God loves all little children, but he has a special place in his heart for you because you don't have a dad. Well, I hung on to that. And when I was growing up, I used that scripture that I could use because it's true. And as I was growing up, I remember praying, Father to the fatherless, I need wisdom. I don't know what to do. And he always seemed to give it. When I went to college, I didn't have money for college. And I prayed, Father to the fatherless, I need money for college. And pastor showed me this verse. And I claim it. And I don't have a way to pay for my college. And I met a man, baled hay for him one time. And he gave me $2,000 for my school bill that day. Pretty good paycheck, wasn't it? Got me started. And I needed more, prayed. And God laid it on the heart of a surgeon. He gave me over $8,000 one time from my school bill. Later, I needed some more. And a man wrote a check, and he paid off the rest of my school bill. And what I'm saying is, I know that I can say my strength, my deliverer. And we continue through life, but we have to hang on to that pronoun, okay? It's what I'm saying. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. Now, there are many times that we need deliverance. And there are stories that I can give you. I think about how my father-in-law, he prayed, and not too long ago, somebody gave such a large gift to the Bible college that it paid off their entire debt. But still, they have to go with the daily needs, and they still pray, and God continues to provide a day at a time. But I see all these things that happen for other people, and then I thought, well, I'm just Mike. And though I don't want to go into the details, I will say this. I had a ministry thing that I was doing, and I thought, well, God's not going to do big things for me. I'm just Mike. And I am just Mike. But I remember praying one time, Lord, you did it for George Mueller. You can do it for me. And I needed more money that month for a ministry I was doing than I make in my entire year income. And at the time, we were bringing about $2,400 in a month, and I needed that month more than I make an entire year. I needed, I'll just tell you, $50,148. So I was only short that month about $27,500. So I said, Lord, you did it for George Mueller. You can do it for me. And I'm trying to pray like George Mueller. And I'm trying to pray with fervency. And I'm trying to really be a man of faith. And then the devil reminded me of something. You're not George Mueller. So I quit praying. And I got discouraged. I thought, what am I going to do? And I thought, I'm in so much trouble. But then, after a little bit of stressing and worrying and being under all of that, the Lord reminded me of something. He said, Mike, it never was George Mueller. It was George Mueller's God. So I got back on my knees, and I prayed for about 1 hour, and I said, God, I need $50,148, and you can do it by the end of the day as much as you can do it by the end of the month. And if I don't have it by the time I wake up tomorrow morning or pillow my head tonight, tomorrow morning I'm going to call all the churches that are involved in this effort and shut it down. I'm going to eat crow and tell them it must have been my idea, not God's, because the money's not there. So that's what I did. But that night, a man came to my house who'd never been in my home, and he was coming for supper, and he knocks on the door. We talk a little bit, lived an hour and a half away, and he said, by the way, I get to be the bearer of good news. I said, what's that? He said, do you know so-and-so? And he named a man that I just met a few days earlier. I said, yes, I met him a couple days ago. He called up and asked if I was going to be seeing you anytime soon. I said, I'm going to his house tonight. He said, stop by my office. I want to give a donation to what he's doing. And he got a donation, and I opened up that envelope, and out fell a check for $50,000. Now, here's the way it worked. I prayed from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock, he looked over his finances. He found he had an extra $50,000. Good problem to have. Then he said, Lord, what should I do with it? And it's like the Lord laid it in his heart. Why don't you give it to what Brother Pelletier is trying to do? And God connected all the dots. He called up a person who knows me. He said, are you going to see Mike? He said, yes, I'm going to his house tonight. Never been to my house. And what I'm saying is God did that. And it only happened once in my life that way, but God did it. And you know what I found? God can do it for whoever needs it to be done. And it's not a thing where it's all about money. You understand what I'm saying. But it's a matter of God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and he is the God for anybody who gets the relationship with him. And so if you feel like you're on this level spiritually and you want to grow spiritually, or you feel like there's nothing wrong, you can't think of any sin in your life, but you just don't feel connected to God and you don't feel like you will ever be connected to God, change your thinking. God wants to be your God as much as anybody else's God. He is not a respecter of persons. Now, in this, I would like to go on and look at the path to God. First, the perspective of God. Number two, the power of God. But here's a tangible thing that has helped me. Is anybody else in here growing in the Lord like I'm trying to grow? Anybody else in here feel like you might need to grow too? And you wonder, what can I do to really grow? I know I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying. But remember, the just shall live by what? Faith. And here's the key, I think, for us kind of moving if we're in a rut or we feel stuck or we don't feel like we're moving forward. At least here is a tangible way that we can move forward with our relationship with God. As you look back at Psalms chapter 18, there are two words that have really helped me, and I believe anybody and everyone who sees these two words. They're the words, I will. Now, in verse 18, in chapter 18 and verse 1, I will love thee. Now, I underline those two words, circle all the my's, and I underline the two words, I will. They're in verse 2, I will. They're in verse 3. And here are three tangible things that will help us all to grow if we determine that we will do these things. All right, first of all, I will love thee. Now, would we all agree that love is a choice? It's a choice. And yes, it feels good. Sometimes there isn't that feeling, but love is a choice. Husbands, love your wives. Period. It doesn't say if she cooks good. That might help, but that's not what it says. It doesn't say if she's somebody who really appreciates you. It doesn't say that. It says, husbands, love your wives. So it's a decision. I will love my wife. I will, and everything that goes along with loving my wife, I'm going to give myself for her, not want her to give herself for me. And by the way, love produces what? Love. We love Christ because he first what? Loved us. And if you don't feel like you're getting love back, then you love, and eventually you'll get love back. And even if you never get love back, you still love because it's a choice. So when it comes to our relationship with our spouse, it is a choice. And when it comes to our relationship with Christian friends, it's a choice. Love one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Not if I think they're on the same spiritual plateau I am. Not if their hygiene is good. Not if they're not obnoxious. Not if they don't say mean things. It's just love one another. So it's a choice. This shall men know that you're my disciples if you have loved one to another. Now, the same thing is true with our relationship with God. I will love thee. Others may not, but I will. I just will. And everything that comes along with loving God, serving him, staying away from sin, ye that love the Lord hate evil, and then loving the brethren. If you love me, you'll love the brethren. And everything that comes along with loving God, I'm going to do it because I just will. Now, that's a step toward getting our relationship to make God my God, not just his God. I'm going to love him no matter what. Now, the second one is in verse 2, and it says, in the middle of the verse, in whom I will what? Trust. All right, now, situations come our way, and this separates the men of God from the talkers. The women of God from those who talk about being a woman of God. This is it. It's simple. I will trust. I'm not going to fall apart. I'm not going to get overwhelmed. I'm not going to get in darkness and gloominess and depression and think, what is going to happen? Oh, no. I'm not going to fall apart. I'm just going to trust. I just will. And it'll be okay. Because I know this verse, and I know that verse, and I know this truth about God and that truth about God, and I'm just going to trust it because I have to trust something. That's what I'm going to trust. And you choose to believe. So you say, I will love him. Others may not, but I will. I will trust. And then three, I will what? Call. And that's where we lift up our prayer and we just pray, and we say, Lord, this is my need. I'm not going to fall apart. I'm putting it in your hands. Lord, this is what I'm feeling. I'm not going to fall apart. I'm just going to trust you. And Lord, I love you. No matter what's happening, I love you. You've been good to me. And you stay with the I will, and I will, and this is how I'm going to act, and this is what I'm going to do. And I do believe that that will take us from this level to a closer intimacy with God. Those are tangible things that we can do. Now, we think about Moses, and we say, what a man of God. But just remember, it was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but not Moses. And in the beginning, Moses said, I won't, I won't, I won't. Get Aaron. But what if he had not finally said, okay, I will? He would have never experienced the parting of the Red Sea, the manna, the miracles, the Shekinah glory, the Ten Commandments that God used him to pen. He would have never experienced all those things. And the thing is, if all we do is we look back on what God did and not what God can do, what God did through them, and always respect that, but what God wants to do still today through us. And they should never have been proud if God used them in the past to do anything, because it was God who did it, right? And we should never be proud in the present if God leads us to do anything, because it's always God who does it. But God does it when people put their trust in him. Hope this helps. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I would like to ask you, is there anyone here today who would say, Brother Mike, I needed this. I am going to choose to make God my God. I already am a believer. I already know I'm going to heaven. I already know I believe in God. I already believe everything is true. But I'm really going to believe it, and I'm going to make God my God, if you know what I mean, not just his God. And I needed that. If there's anyone like that, would you slip up the hand more before God than me? Amen. 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 My God, not just pastor's God. My God, not just my grandma's. But now it's my God, and I will love him. Is there anybody who would need that spot that says, I will trust. I'm not going to fall apart. In the situation I'm going through, I'm just going to trust him. I just am going to. Is there anybody like that? You're going through a hard time and you want some prayer. God bless you. God bless you there. God bless you there. Father, we do pray that you use the words that went forth in the Sunday school hour, that it would build us all from the Bible and what we have seen in it. In Christ's name, help these who have raised their hand about faith and needs being their strength. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.